So we have been looking over the last week or so, and this week, at Jesus' parables. And we talked about that word parable from the Greek word. It derives from the Greek word, the word parables, and it means to throw aside, it means to compare, it means to create a juxtaposition. And so here we are. Jesus provides us yet with another agricultural image, and he compares it to the church. Jesus gives us this image of a diverse and a divided church, but it's staying together. It's inhabiting the same space. I read a story about Scottish Highland shepherds, and the shepherd in the story was asked, why do Highland shepherds pen and paddock sheep and goats together? Why do you never see just sheep paddocked and penned? Why do you never see goats just paddocked and penned? Why are they always both together? And the shepherd replied, we found that over the centuries that they do better together. And here in our text, Jesus provides a vivid image of wheat and tares, wheat and weeds, growing together. So the question is, the question in Jesus' unexplained parable is not, am I wheat or am I weeds? He's not asking that question of us. And if we were to ask the question, am I wheat or am I weeds, from what Jesus tells us, the answer is that you and I are both. This is the story about the church. The church is wheat and weeds both. However, we like to think we know who's who in the zoo many times. And so the big question is, why can't we just leave the judgment or the judging to God? What is it with our human nature that is somehow heightened in Christian human nature that tells us we have to judge one another? Jesus prohibits judging in his teachings. Matthew 7:1-5. You can look that up yourself and have a look about what it talks about judging there. And Jesus was always in some sort of conflict with the scribes and the Pharisees for their persistent judging of people and their attempt to control the details of others' lives all the time as part of their religious practice. And yet, if you were to ask most people who have been alienated from church what they found most difficult about Christians, they would say church people are so judgmental. Robert Farah Capon comments in his book, or his commentary on Jesus' parables, and the book's called The Parables of the Kingdom. He says these words. He says, programs designed to get rid of evil are doomed to do exactly what the farmers suggest they do. Since good and evil commonly inhabit not only the same field, but even the same individual human being, the only result of a dedicated campaign to get rid of evil would be to eliminate, or the elimination of literally everybody. He goes on to suggest that the devil's best strategy is to hoodwink good people into thinking or taking up arms against one another while he sits back and laughs. As Christians, we rush in being very, very, very pleased to find others' mistakes. We build ourselves up by tearing others down. We are called to exercise love in even the toughest situations. We are obligated to love our brothers and sisters even when it costs us something. We are obliged to love our brothers and sisters, even under times of tremendous emotional tension. John 13:34-35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So also you must love one another. By this, everyone, not just some people, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Sometimes I think that Christians not merely trying to be holier than thou, they're trying to be holier than Jesus himself. We know Jesus spoke about being perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. But as a good Anglican, I know that Jesus was trying and saying, he wasn't trying to say, he was saying to be perfect in love, as God is perfect in love. That's what he was saying. Before holiness comes perfection. Jesus expects transformation in his hearers before those two conditions, or those two, let's say conditions take place in our lives, holiness and perfection. We're expected to be transformed first. He knew that hearing the good news of unconditional acceptance of a generous God has a way of transforming our human condition. As we discover that religion isn't about rules, it's about relationships. This is a process this morning. And that's why Jesus uses these organic images to describe the process of the kingdom of God coming to fruition in our lives, in the lives of our people, in our church, in our lives, in the lives of our communities. He's speaking in this gospel message of the kingdom of God operating as growing wheat amongst weeds, or as yeast leavening dough, or as a small mustard seed transforming into a tree, and a tree big enough to host a colony of birds. This process, he says, isn't flawless, nor is it conducted in clinically sanitized environments. Wheat grows in the presence of competing and threatening weeds. Sourdough yeast is rotting old food material. And the little mustard seed could just as well have ended up as bird seed. So does Jesus condone weeds? He acknowledges that for the life of God to be real, it needs to live and grow in a real world. So nitpicking at the weeds in the field of young wheat does not harm, or does more harm, sorry, to the wheat than it does good. And it's the same for us. Nitpicking Christians are even more damaging. We know that the roots of the weeds grow underground, and they tangle beneath, the weeds. So the wheat and the weeds' roots are actually mixed and tangled together. And God knows the roots of evil grow around every sickness, around every bad situation. They have done since the time of Adam and Eve. And yes, God can purge the world of sin and death. He can do that right now. But he doesn't, because we all have sinned this morning. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We are also tangled with the corruption of sin, that he would destroy us and the whole world in the same moment if we asked him to get rid of sin and death. So let me close with this thought. The parable is about the church. So by inference, it's about you and it's about me. Therefore, there may be something in this parable that helps us in self-examination, that helps us to understand where we are in this organic growth of the church, of the kingdom of God. So as human beings, we all have this inner landscape. And while Jesus' parable speaks of end times, the parable has a personal application as well. It can help us to survey our own inner landscape and evaluate the weeds that are amongst the wheat in our inner landscape that perhaps need pruning but not plucking up. And here's why I say pruning and not plucking up. Because while there are aspects of our personality that shouldn't be allowed to overtake the whole field, the whole landscape of our inner landscape, with a bit of self-discipline, with a bit of self-awareness, these aspects may just contribute to our life's harvest and our contribution to the world as well. And since we know that we often tend to judge others for qualities we dislike in ourselves, it's sometimes worth thinking about, and it's definitely worth praying about
and bringing to God as we do survey our own inner landscape. So does Jesus condone weeds? I'll leave you to ponder that question and pray about it.